ABC Radio Australia.
Well, it's been exactly 25 years now since one of Fiji's darkest days. It's the 2000 Fiji coup. It started on May 19th when seven gunmen stormed the Fiji Parliament building in Suva, taking the Prime Minister and 50 parliamentarians hostage. At the time of the coup, Nirmal Singh Chima served as a political and public diplomacy specialist at the American Embassy in Suva. Mr. Chima says he had been made aware about the threat of a coup and had warned the Chaudhry government beforehand.
Well, okay, you know, here's the thing. I was the political and public affairs specialist with the American Embassy in Suva at that time. And just to give an overview, we had some intelligence, you know, there are rumblings going on that there may be an attempt to take over Mr. Chaudhry's government on Friday. So we did, on Wednesday, my ambassador and I did approach Mr. Chaudhry and told him that to defuse the situation and there might be an attempt to take over his government. So Mr. Chaudhry, I think, did not take it very seriously because of the support of the president, and he didn't realize because the economy was doing very well. I don't think he took seriously that there would be an attempt to remove his government. So we came back, you know, knowing that Mr. Chaudhry hasn't paid much attention to it. And then in the afternoon, ambassador called me again. He said, why don't you go to and talk to Krishnadath, who was a senior member of Chaudhry cabinet. So I spoke to Mr. Krishnadath as well on Wednesday. Again, Mr. Krishnadath was trying to sort of sort things out. But then, you know, I don't think anybody in the country was sort of feeling there won't be any coup. So come Friday, myself and my political officer, we were monitoring the march. We're right in the city. And I was right in front of the march, you know, and as we approached, it was quite peaceful march. You know, when we started, there were about 50 people. But as the march went on, halfway through the city, you know, the crowd just bulged into thousands. And by the time we went to the Albert Park area, a group of people went to present the petition to Joe Brown, who was the permanent secretary for the prime minister, for the president at that time. And I think that's where Mr. Brown announced that the parliament has been taken over. And that's when the entire, all the whole hell loose broke. You know, people went berserk. I was guided into a police van who was right in front and going towards parliament. I jumped into the police van and the whole mob was after the police van, throwing stones. And we kept watching until we went to the parliament. And on the way, any cars that were parked, you know, the police were shouting, close the business along the Sese. So, you know, as we went up to the parliament gate, we saw armed people and, with the guns and all those stuff. And then, once the police reached the gate, the people out near the gate aimed their gun at the police. And then they jumped, sort of pressed the fuel. And then, you know, we went ahead. So my ambassador's car was waiting there. I got into it. And by then we could see from there at the Parliament House fumes, the smokes blowing out of Suva. And at that time, we know Suva was burning.
Wow. Wow. And so you were working with the U.S. Embassy and you actually had a tip-off or there was already rumors at the time that there was going to be a coup. Where did this information come from?
Well, you know, I cannot speak about it. You know, I have to respect my work at the U.S. Embassy at that time. But generally, the intelligence was that there may be an attempt to remove Mr. Chaudhry's government. And we did the right thing. We advised the government. We had advised Mr. Chaudhry. We advised the Minister for Foreign Affairs. And that's where the thing is. But the thing is this, bro. If you really look at it, now when you sit down and reflect on what happened on 2000, I don't know if there was any means to stop this thing, because, you know, when you really reflect now, the law enforcement agencies, the police force, the military one, you know, they seem to be incapable of protecting the government, you know, and the people who could come from Tailevu, Naita City and remote areas, march into the town, march up to the parliament without any restriction, shows clearly that there was no will on the part of the law enforcement agencies for some reason or the other to stop this from happening. And, you know, if you could see in one of the pictures where the former police commissioner, Isikia Savua, is standing over the wrecks and you hardly see any police officers around. So, you know, and when the arms reached there has been in the parliament, obviously there has been some support from the military as well. How can the arms be moved from the military to the parliamentary ground?
Yeah.
So, you know, the people moved into the parliament and all those stuff without unrestricted access to parliament, you know, from far areas, remote areas. Why there was no roadblock? So I think there was some support from the law enforcement agencies towards this cause of overthrowing Chaudhary government. I think the fear was that people living, especially people, Indo-Fijian people living in remote areas like Muani Beni and other remote areas, they were really subjected to a lot of abuse.
How widespread? Could you give a specific example?
Okay, after the event, we went to Muani Beni area, you know, that was in Baulebu area. That was one of the places that was very badly affected, or people were sort of beaten up there. That's where things were bad. And, you know, we went and met the people around the place, you know. One place we saw only the grandparents were around, you know, they were crying, and we asked them, where are the family? They said, they have moved to west. They were the Girmit Center in Latuka. So there was eyewitnesses who were telling us the hell they went through, you know, that they never expected this to happen, because some of the people who committed these things were their friends. They sat down together, they ate together, they lived in the settlement, and you know, they were taken aback with same people standing up and beating them up.
Does current day Fiji still feel the impacts of the past?
I think so, because, you know, more than two decades later, we have started this reconciliation process. Most of the people are not around anymore. They have passed on. So I really don't know what the reconciliation process will bring in when the people who might have been affected, or my people who are accused, are no longer to justify themselves. But it has an impact. It has a very frightening impact. And let's pray we never have to revisit this situation.
And now Mary Chapman, who was the Secretary to Parliament at the time, says she was in New Zealand when Parliament was stormed, but quickly returned to Fiji to assist authorities in getting food to the hostages.
My main priority at that time was that the members who were kept in the chambers were looked after. They were fed, and I arranged this with the caterers. So I operated from there in Midway and looking after the members who were outside, you know, writing to them, keeping their morale up, when the arrangement was made that the members would be released. I was told that I could go into Parliament. And that was the thing that's in my mind, me and my staff going to Parliament, the Permanent Secretary of Finance and the Secretary of Public Service Commission at that time, and the Auditor General, of course, and the Ministry of Information, photographers. If we could all meet in Parliament to see the damage that was done. Unfortunately, none of these gentlemen, Permanent Secretary of Finance, Permanent Secretary of Public Service Commission, and the Auditor General, they didn't turn up, except for the Ministry of Information Director, who came with his team, the staff. And we took photos of the damage that was done. They didn't show this in the TV, all the clips of this, what was taken, because according to the Minister of Information, people that saw what was done in Parliament, the damage, the actual damage, my office was damaged, oh gosh. But you know, all this footage would be in our archives in the Ministry of Information, which was never allowed to be released.
And when you said damage, like what kind of damage?
You know, I had a well-contained office with a bathroom, and I had my stuff there because I had to be on 24 hours. You know, I could be on duty 24 hours. You know, functions to attend to, this and that. So I live in Nosori, which is, the airport, Nosori Airport. And then it would be hard for me to run here and go back to the office. So I had a lot of my stuff there, but I'm talking about structural damage, you know, like cows hanging from dripping from the place, what we call the mbure, down where the kitchen, the people that were killing cows, delivering cows and dalo and all to feed the people who are part of the coup makers, you know. And they will kill the bullocks or cows hanging from, so the blood would be dripping, and they'll shove it in the fridge, which is not supposed to look after meat for a long time. They should have been a freezer. But everything was, all the fridge, each of the officers of the parliament, they were all damaged, and we had to get rid of all these things. If somebody is brave enough to get the clip from Ministry of Information archives, which was the Ministry of Information, actual photographs of that particular day when we went in, we took all the photos down, but it was not allowed to be shown to the public. Wow. By the Minister of Information at that time, because he thought, in his deliberate judgment, that it would cause more anger in the public.
And that was Mary Chapman, former Secretary to Fiji's Parliament.